Hi, I'm Perry, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains. Hello, and welcome to The Beauty Brains, a show where real cosmetic chemists answer your beauty product questions and give you an insider's look at the cosmetic industry. This is episode 282. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me today is Valerie George. Hello, Valerie.
Hi, Perry.
282, that's a palindrome, Valerie. I'm very excited about palindromes.
Oh, of course, you would notice that.
Yeah. You know, back in 2002, I called it the year of the palindrome. I spent a lot of time trying to come up with my own palindrome, and I came up with poop time, I emit poop.
Yes. I don't want to know the where and how of how you did that. That's a story for never.
Took a lot of thinking. Well, you know, Valerie, on today's show, we're going to have a little shorter show today since it's the holidays. You're traveling. I'm glad you and I could make time just before the holidays to get at least a show in. And we're going to cover, is snail mucilage a worthwhile ingredient? Do blackhead suction devices work? And will a humidifier actually help skin? But before we get to that, some of that inane chit-chat we're famous for, Valerie, it doesn't look like you're in your usual place.
I am not. I am in Ohio. It's Thanksgiving week, and we usually like to try to put out a little episode or at least a thank you to our listeners for listening to the show and supporting us. So I'm in Ohio, and I am on my way to Boston.
Yes. Now, do you make like a pie or something for Thanksgiving, or do you cooking yourself, or are you just more of an eater?
You know, I'm an eater. I could eat or not eat. Some people live to eat. I eat to live, you know? Yeah. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. What about you?
I usually try to make something, often a pie, but usually it's a pie. I make it, nobody else wants it, and I eat the whole thing. But, you know, at least I like it.
Yeah. What kind of pie is your favorite?
Well, I do like a pumpkin pie, but nothing beats the coconut cream pie. You know, I went through my life one time where I decided I was going to pick a favorite of everything, and my favorite dessert, bar none, is coconut cream pie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, indeed it is. And you know what else is a good one? The rest of the show that we've got coming up.
Yeah.
Let's start with some beauty science news.
Well, this week, Perry, I saw an article, and, you know, I haven't been, since COVID, I haven't been too high on beauty science news, but I saw an article. We've talked a little bit about this before in one of the episodes about Clinique being sued because they have made an oil-free claim, and someone believes they're not oil-free. Do you remember this?
I recall this lawsuit. I think it was probably summer, earlier in the summer, I think that lawsuit happened.
Yeah, so it's back in the news because a federal judge didn't free the company of the suit, although it did dismiss some of the plaintiff's claims against the company. And Clinique is the only one that is not the only one that's on the hook. There's also Walgreens, Boots, L'Oreal, Maybelline. And for me, I have a couple problems with this lawsuit. The first is the plaintiff actually has not purchased and used the products, according to what I've seen in the news. They are just going after these companies and suing them because they don't define oils in the same way that the brands do. And to the plaintiff, they're saying an oil to me is something that's partially fat, you know, if not fully, it's at least partially fat soluble. And to me, an oil has a very specific definition as a chemist. Just because something is intrinsically oily feeling or is oil soluble doesn't make it an oil. They're suing over dimethicone, tocopherol acetate, which can feel oily, but I don't, you know, necessarily consider an oil, including some other esters in there that help with slip, tocopherol, which is vitamin E. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Now,
but it sounds like they're picking anything that has non-polar aspects of it, then it's going to be considered an oil, and you know.
Yeah,
that's just not how it really is used in the cosmetic industry.
Yeah, is she suing them for fragrance compounds that are intrinsically more oily soluble than others? I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And you know, our legal team where I work the one guy will always tell me, because I'm like, ah, I should sue this company for doing that, because I know it's like, you know, marketing or whatever.
Sure.
And he's like, were you personally harmed by the product? Or, and I'm like, no, it's stressing me out. He's like, that's not really, really enough to do anything. So I hope that's the case. I mean, to me, the whole thing is just, you know, a representation of how ridiculous our litigious country can be.
You know, actually, Valerie, I will do expert witnessing, and I actually got contacted about a case. I'm not saying it's this case, but a case like this where they were looking for a chemist to help them support their claims that these companies that are making oil-free claims are breaking the law or they're misleading consumers.
they called the wrong person.
And I was like, hey, in good conscience, I don't think I can help you.
I hope they found no cosmetic chemist for that. That is absurd.
I've got to figure they found somebody. Somebody to make that.
Who's like, I want to make a few $100.
They have to have an expert witness if they want to support the case. And the fact that the case is going forward, you know, judges don't know about chemistry. But basically, we consider oils, you know, hydrocarbons. Materials that contain hydrocarbons, typically derived from plants, although there's also mineral oil, which is derived from petroleum, but that's just hydrocarbons.
But I think that's a colloquial name, because to me, an oil has to have some triglycerides and esters, right. And it's a specific composition.
Exactly. So it's complicated, and good luck the court system figuring it out.
Dang.
I saw in the news that Garnier has teamed up with Walmart to launch a clean beauty hair care brand.
Ooh.
That's right. The trend of clean beauty has finally jumped the shark, as it were.
Oh,
you know that
gosh.
Phrase, jump the shark? Do you know where that comes from?
No, I don't.
Well, there was a very famous TV show called Happy Days, you know, when you were a tiny toddler.
I was not alive during Happy Days. I just want to tell you that.
Late 70s, early 80s. Well, there was a character on there named Fonzie who was like, he's kind of the
star. I'm at least aware of the show from reruns, yep.
They moved out to California, I guess, to cut savings on the budget or something. But anyway, they moved out to California, and there's an episode where Fonzie jumps over a shark. To prove that he's cool. And so ever since, that's where the phrase jump the shark came from.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, speaking of jump the shark, the Garnier has this tiny company, Garnier, has teamed up with this tiny boutique distributor named Walmart to launch their hair care brand. They say it is the Garnier Fructis Pure Clean Hair Reset Collection, which is formulated with an eco designed natural ingredients, and they contain aloe vera, charcoal, peppermint, and powerful technologies like citric acid.
Oh my gosh. You know, citric acid, I would actually like to go against Garnier, or who at least ever wrote the marketing copy for that, because citric acid is actually a weak acid when you're talking about chemical terms. There's weak acids, strong acids, weak bases, strong bases, and it's in the weak acid category. So
It also has micellar agents.
Also known as shrimp.
Like detergents. Detergents. All right. And the cooling scalp technology, which is probably menthol, which is, I was like a little tingling on my scalp, just, you know, on the rest of your body, it kind of hurts.
Yeah. Don't put it, I hope it's not in the body wash.
Well, the new range consists of 6 products for in-shower hair care, and they also have leave-in conditioners, which, you know, I see that, you know, Garnier is launching this clean beauty hair care line. And I have to wonder, does that mean they're going to stop selling their other line, which is not clean?
Well, that's the problem, right? It implies something it's not. And actually, guess what, Perry? One of my favorite mass market products, if I'm ever picking something up at Walmart or whatever, is actually Garnier. I really like their products. They're simple, not too long of an ingredient list. They don't leave, you know, a super strong feeling on the hair. It's not too gunky.
Sure.
I actually really like it. So I'm surprised they're saying their original product portfolio wasn't clean.
It is a little bit surprising. It'll be interesting to see what detergents they're using. Now, who Garnier is owned by?
Who are they?
Well, you know, that French word. So it's L'Oreal.
You know what? I did know that.
You know, I suspect that if you look at, because this is, of course, it's sulfate free. They have all of the regular clean beauty ingredients that everyone says they avoid: sulfates, petroleum, or petrolatum. Mm-hmm. I hope they avoid petroleum, mineral oil, parabens, and dyes. But I think if you look at this is their sulfate free formula. It probably, if you look at the L'Oreal sulfate-free shampoos, I bet there's going to be some similarities there.
Yeah. Oh, man. I bet. That's called economy of scale, right?
Exactly. Now, this does demonstrate the problem for brands with clean beauty. You know, anybody can come. It's not an ownable position. So now that the big guys are coming out with it, little guys, they'll have to come up with some new trend to set themselves apart from the big guys.
Now even cleaner. Yeah.
All right, you ready for some beauty science questions?
There's some good ones. So our first question comes to us from Dorota from Poland. She says, "Hey guys, first, I really love your podcast. I learn so much from you. I have a question regarding snail mucin." Ew. Sorry, yeah. Sorry. We'll get to that. "Is there any actual research regarding the claims behind this ingredient in skincare? There are so many amazing Korean brands using this ingredient in their products, and I don't know if it's worth using these products. I'm 24, so still too young to use retinol. Therefore, I'm using a lot of different products with different ingredients, one of which is being snail mucin serum from Benton. Is it worth the hype?"
Well,
you know, Perry, I'll say... Have you used a product with snail mucin in it?
I don't believe I have, no.
Okay. Well, one of my coworkers went to Korea one time, and she brought a ton of face masks back. And, of course, a lot of them had snails on them, and some were really cute cartoon snails. And I'm like, okay, I could use this product. And another had a picture of a real snail on it. And I was like, this is crossing the line here. I am not using that. So...
I always wonder, when you're making a product like this, like, how do you get the snail stuff? Do you just, are there like little people milking the snails, or they just let them slide around on a glass slide and then,
you know, clean up after them? I don't know how they get the secretions. I kind of don't want to know.
Right. Who does want to know? And I'm also surprised that these products are still around in this world of vegan beauty getting such a big push these days. I know you're not, no snails are harmed when harvesting, I suppose, it's not going to be vegan, right?
I don't think it would be vegan. And anyway, what is snail slime? Let's talk about that.
that's a very good question. Snail mucilin, there's an ingredient that's actually sold to kind of mimic snail mucilin, and it's made up of water, glycoproteins, glycerin, sodium hyaluronate, sodium glycosamines, and copper gluconate, and sodium PCA. And you know what all of those ingredients are?
Humectants.
Exactly, humectants, and that is primarily the composition of snail slime. Now, you'll often see this ingredient incorporated into standard creams along with some other ingredients to help with skin rejuvenation. But the reality is, you know, humectants do work. They will absorb and attract water to skin, so they can help with moisturizing. But as far as there being anything special about snail slime mucilin, the studies that I've seen, there is something published in the Korean Journal of Dermatology back in 2015. There have been a few other studies that talk about snail mucilin, but there's really no good studies to demonstrate that it provides any extra special benefit over something just like a regular glycerin moisturizer that's worth pursuing. So, it does work as a humectant, so there is that. But, pretty much I don't see any reason that you need to include snail mucilin in your standard products.
Well, snail mucilin, I mean, that's just like, I mean, when I think of muse or mucus, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, snot and boogers and stuff. And
sure.
Basically, that's just a, yeah, that's just a bunch of polysaccharides, right? So, I mean, exactly. To me, you know, the vegan one is probably just as good as the real stuff. And the vegan one is just a blend You know, and that's a commercially available snail mucin alternative. That's really just a blend of stuff to mimic the polysaccharides in the snail mucin. And then you might as well just use something with this stuff anyway, like the glycerin and hyaluronic acid. So I would probably skip it unless it's in a product you really love using.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting any extra benefit from snail mucin that you couldn't get equally or better from some other ingredients. Now, there's just one other aspect of the question. She said, she just made an offhand comment that she's too young to use retinol. Can people be too young to use retinol? I mean, if your skin looks good and you're young, you usually don't need to use retinol, but I don't think there's you're going to harm yourself. You know, I don't think there's some age limit to retinol.
Yeah, or a age minimum, right? It's not like, show me your ID card, how old are you, you know? I think it's definitely most beneficial for women, you know, starting in their 30s and 40s where skin turnover starts to slow down. But I think if your skin looks great and you're happy with it, you probably don't need to use it. But if you have acne, hyperpigmentation, or other skin issues, I definitely don't think it's too young to use it, you know, especially at a low dose. So,
exactly. All right, we're ready to move on to our next question. This is an audio question that comes to us from Leanne.
Hey, Beauty Brains. I love your show. I really appreciate how you help me sort out fact from fiction in the beauty space. So I'm calling with an audio question today about a beauty tool. In fact, it's the blackhead vacuum devices or pore vacuum devices. They're essentially strong kind of suction tools that I'm seeing a lot on social media and women's magazines, and people often use them to kind of suck out the contents of clogged pores, especially on your nose and face. So I'm wondering what your take on these is. Should we be kind of incorporating that into our skincare routines on a regular basis? Is there any potential effects for long-term skin damage? And are these kinds of devices safe for average people to use if they don't have any training? Thanks so much.
All right, blackhead suction vehicle of devices.
Vehicles. It's like a gas-powered machine.
So this is just like taking like a vacuum cleaner to your cheeks, right?
Yeah, I always fantasize about those things. And I would say I probably don't recommend it because one thing I've learned from getting facials and following estheticians online is that when you are performing extractions on your face, which apparently is never ideal, but I do it all the time. And if you guys could see my face right now, you'll know what I've been doing on my car ride. Is in the mirror. The sun, you know, natural sunshine is in the car is the best place to nitpick at your skin. The lighting is so excellent. But anyway, you know, it's not recommended because unless you prepare your skin properly, you can actually do more harm to your skin, creating scars, prolonging the healing time, that kind of stuff.
Creating hickeys.
Yeah. So one thing I've learned is skin preparation, if you're going to do your own extractions, is really critical, just like an esthetician would do when you're getting a facial. So my fear is with these vacuum devices is that you're not going to, the odds of a person properly preparing their skin to suction them out is probably not ideal. And you're going to potentially cause more harm to the skin by pulling things out maybe that aren't ready to be out, if it even can. So I probably would say skip the device and invest more in a routine that allows you to conduct your own extractions, or maybe even skip the device and routinely get an extraction facial, which is actually a specific kind of facial I've learned, you know, that's different from normal fufu facials where you know, someone will really go at your face for a solid 30 minutes and you're going to climb out of your own skin. Yeah. which I actually had one. There's a great spa in Los Angeles called The Modern You, and they do amazing extraction routines. And I actually asked them one time to save the pile of stuff they took out so I could see it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa. And it's things I never would have gotten out on my own. It was really incredible. So
it's going to give you something more than daily cleansing or your own exfoliating.
Or this even blackhead vacuum device. There's things that they can see and they've properly prepared the skin that you can't even see. Because I'm just like, I thought that was something. I think most of my blackheads are freckles, or my freckles are blackheads, which is also really dangerous because it's like, nope, that's just a freckle. So anyway, well, yeah, I'd say leave it to the pros.
I used to like to store stuff in my face from high school, and maybe I lost some stuff, so maybe I can go check this.
Oh my gosh. Get that out. I don't think you could handle the pain, man. But anyway, I would say unless you're like, I would probably just get some other tools instead of the vacuum device because it's probably not going to be as effective than doing it yourself with proper preparation.
Yeah. But the things that you could buy and use at home, as far as whether they're safe if you use them properly. But, you know, there is a potential of causing redness or, you know, longer lasting hickeys if you use it improperly. So basically, they are safe.
I swear it's a blackhead device. It's not a hickey. That's a good one.
Exactly. Oops. All right, Valerie, we got time for one more question.
Karina says, I live in Phoenix, Arizona, where it is very dry. I'm thinking of purchasing a humidifier, but I want to know if there are really any benefits to using one if I'm just going to be in a dry office, outdoors, etc., for the remaining 16 hours of the day. I worry that it might reverse any potential benefits or possibly even shock my skin. I haven't been able to find any information on this, only about the benefits of using one. Sometimes I overthink too much. Well, I don't think that's overthinking. I think that's a very good question.
Yeah, the idea of humidity in the air, especially in Arizona?
Yeah.
Where there isn't any.
Zero.
Yeah. Well, I know here in Chicago, in the wintertime, the humidity goes way down, and boy, my skin, at least the skin around my fingernails and stuff, it gets so much drier, and it causes me to pick at them, and it's a whole big problem I have. But certainly a humidifier would help in that regard, because I don't do it as much in the summer, just because it's less humid, or more humid in the summer than the winter.
So yeah.
I would think that if you live in a climate that there isn't a lot of humidity, you know, a humidifier could actually probably benefit your skin.
But do you think, you know, part of it for me is, you know, in the wintertime, skin getting extra dry, you're moving outdoors, you're moving indoors to where there's a heater and it's sucking your skin, or maybe you know, we're not talking about temperature fluctuations, but I'm just thinking about, you know, in the wintertime in Ohio or something like that, where your skin can get really dry just from even moving in between temperatures. And if she's using this humidifier while she's sleeping for 8 hours and then goes outside, how fast is the skin going to equilibrate and lose any benefits of the humidifier? Or like, will a proper skincare routine supplement that? What do you think?
Certainly the skincare routine is going to be much more important than the humidifier. The humidifier is essentially giving you an artificial condition that once you go in your humidified area and you walk into the room that's not humidified, you know, all that is just, all the water is just going to sort of evaporate off away and your skin is going to be dry again. Using skin products, moisturizers and things that put an occlusive layer on your skin and help keep the moisture in, is going to have a much bigger impact than a device like a humidifier. So, yeah, I mean, if you're choosing between two, should I do a good skincare routine or get a humidifier? Yeah, the skincare routine is going to have a much bigger impact. I just think a humidifier in the when you're in that condition could also help your skin to some extent.
Well, now I just want to bring up, we could actually, you know, she's saying using it at home for 8 hours, and then the remaining 16 hours of the day, she's outdoors in a dry office. So we're talking about being in a dry office outdoors for the rest of the 16 hours. I could tell you how you could easily change that 16 to probably just 8 hours where you're humidifier free. I had a friend of a friend of a friend start a company called Hey Dewey, and I bought this little USB humidifier so you could plug it in at your desk. You could put it... I'm laughing because you could put it in your car, plug it into the USB charger, sure. And you're constantly surrounded by humidity, you know, which was pretty funny. I actually gave it to someone, you know, as a gift at work, but, you know, cause I'm not going to remember to take it everywhere. And then it's like, oh, do I got to buy one for the desk and buy one for the car? And, you know, it just seemed like
So you would plug it into your, like your laptop, you would just have this big bottle of water plugged into your laptop.
Yeah. It's actually a really cute device, but the car is the weird thing. It's like where, you know, you're like trying to find, it doesn't reach the cup holder. And anyway, it was just like kind of weird. I was just like, I don't like putting humidity into the car. You know, it's not good for the upholstery, but,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you could be, you know, humidity, dehumidity free or, you know, whatever that's called. But probably, sure. You know, as Perry said, just get a really good cream, maybe with some snail mucin or glycerin, and you're going to be fine. Just keep a pet snail in the car and just stamp it on your face.
There is actually an episode of the Penn and Teller show Bullshit where they take snails and they put them on people's faces. And they were kind of mocking the whole practice, which makes it kind of funny that later on that actually did come out as a beauty product practice.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, oh, man. Mm.
All right, Valerie. Well, I think we've covered these questions. Thank you, everybody, for listening and for supporting us. And actually, if you want to support the show and keep us ad-free, head on over to Patreon and support us. Go to patreon.com/thebeautybrains and subscribe.
We really are thankful for all of you guys who listen to the show. And, you know, we're not making a living on Patreon. We're really just paying for the expenses of putting out this ad-free podcast, because we really love what we do, and it really makes our day when we get these emails and questions and notes saying, thank you so much for the show. I love it. You guys are great. You've changed my mind or helped inform me. And that's really why we do the show.
Absolutely. And if you get a chance, go on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to. Some people listen to on Spotify, I imagine, and leave us a review. That's going to help other people find the show and ensure we have a full docket of questions.
And if you have a question, record it on your smartphone. We prioritize the audio questions right after our Patreon questions. Email it to thebeautybrains@gmail.com, and it's that easy.
Yeah, and you can follow us on our various social media accounts. Instagram, we're at thebeautybrains2018. We're on Twitter, we're just at thebeautybrains. And we have a Facebook page, and we have a TikTok page that we don't do anything with.
We don't know how to use TikTok, so again, putting out that solicitation for help.
Exactly. We do not know.
Well, thanks again for listening, everyone. And remember, be brainy about your beauty.
Thanks, everyone.